Oh, it was painful. It was painful to see how much she had taken.
Do you want to share the amount?
Well, the amount that I sued for was $53,000, and I won. The actual amount is closer to $100,000.
And is this over 18 months? Is this like...
Over 18 months, yeah.
Okay, now how long had she been with you?
10 years. Okay. She hadn't been in that role, but 18 months. She started stealing from me the moment we put her in the office manager position.
Welcome to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. Join Dr. Allison House of House Dental in Scottsdale and Sean Zayas, founder of Zana, as they lead dentists deeper along the journey of authenticity to reach greater fulfillment in their professional lives and to deliver remarkable patient experiences.
Okay, so this week you were talking to a dentist and they were mentioning that they just purchased a practice and now as they're looking into the numbers, things don't add up. And of course, there's a little bit more to it. But why don't we just start there?
So I get a lot of phone calls from young dentists and I love to mentor young dentists. So if you have a question and you need help, you can always call me. So this young dentist called me. She bought a practice maybe 6 months ago. It hasn't been very long. And she has an office manager that's left over from the previous owner. And the office manager just seems really secretive. And the young dentist said that every day she checks the bank account and she checks what it says was deposited and they don't match. And she wants to know why. Of course, I can't just answer this over the phone. There is way more to this than just, okay, they don't match. There's so many reasons that they couldn't match. And some of it could be systems. You know, are the systems set up properly so that what you say in your dental software and what your bank account says and what your QuickBooks says all match? There has to be a system to make sure that that's true. But the other problem is the scary problem is, could it be that this office manager has been stealing? And that's a scary prospect, especially for somebody who just bought a practice and they don't know how to run it and they don't really want to fire somebody. And yet that's possible.
So do you think the next step is a little bit more digging, a little bit more of trying to verify before going through and firing this individual, then really doing a deep dive? Like what would you advise be the next step?
So if this was a dentist that called me that had owned their practice for 20 years, then I would say, okay, you need to do a deep dive into your numbers and see what those systems are. With somebody who's been owned a practice for 6 months, there's no possibility that she understands the numbers well enough to do that deep dive herself. So that's when she needs to call the professionals. And there's two really popular ones that I like. I think you've interviewed Dave Harris. Yeah. With Prospident and Susan Gunn. And both of them can go in and do the audit and tell you if somebody is stealing or not. I actually have hired Susan Gunn in the past and she was wonderful. I mean, she explained to me why things didn't match. I did have an embezzlement problem. But she also set up all the systems so that I could figure that out pretty quickly rather than it took me a year and a half before she set up those systems.
So what were the yellow flags that you saw that made you even put into question there might be something going on here with your own practice?
There were some little things where she claimed they were just mistakes, but they weren't. Where I thought something was entered in as care credit. And it wasn't care credit, it was cash. So that was a weird thing. I couldn't understand why that mistake was made. And besides, there's a fee for care credit that was taken out. And again, clearly it was cash. So it was very confusing and it wasn't on the bank account. So that was one of the first things. I got really angry with our suppliers because our bills were so high. They were completely out of the norm. Only to find out later that the bills had been faked. And so we really didn't have that big of a supply bill that had just been going into her pocket. So there were just all kinds of little things where I'm like, things are really wrong. I feel like the expenses are too high. But I didn't put it together because I trusted this person so much. And yeah, that was a hard thing.
So when you started putting it together, did you immediately go to some sort of professional help, like, hey, you know, I don't want to just jump jump to a conclusion because, again, trust is on the line. This is an individual that you've entrusted a lot with your practice to. You have this relationship with. Or did you already find something that you knew was suspect enough? Like, how did you actually manage that in real time as you were going through it?
Mine was different because it was during COVID and there was money taken out that I knew shouldn't have been taken out when we got the stimulus check. What was it? We got some money to try and stay open and there was money taken out that I knew shouldn't have been taken out. And she wasn't there. I was there. So I fired her for so many reasons. But then I really started looking into things and it didn't make any sense to me.
So wait, because there was money that was taken out, you automatically knew that it had to be her in that moment?
There had been no one else in the office. I mean, there was no one else in the office. There was no one else to pay. Yeah, it had to be her. There was no supplies being bought that month. We didn't have any patients. It was March of 2020. So I knew something was wrong. But I fired her because she was not running my practice well. There were lots of other reasons. But I hired Susan Gunn at that time, and she went through the numbers. And, oh, it was painful. It was painful to see how much she had taken.
Do you want to share the amount?
Well, the amount that I sued for was $53,000, and I won. The actual amount is closer to $100,000.
And is this over 18 months? Is this like...
Over 18 months, yeah.
Okay, now how long had she been with you?
10 years. Okay. She hadn't been in that role, but 18 months. She started stealing from me the moment we put her in the office manager position.
Wow. The messiest part of any business is the fact that people deal with other people. And when everything is going great in someone's life, you know, maybe there's no pressure for the worst of them to come out. And I don't want to make excuses here. I don't know this individual. But just the idea that we have to trust individuals.
Well, that's the issue. If you own the business, you personally cannot do everything. It's just not possible unless you decide not to do the dentistry anymore. So you have to trust some people. But the thing for me is that before that, I'd had an office manager who every penny was accounted for. Everything had been done perfectly. And so it just didn't occur to me, since I'd had so much trust for so many years, that this would be a problem.
Well, and again, that goes back to what I'm saying about trust. It's like, it's a bummer. We have to trust, and we try to put safeguards in place, but I think some of these strategies can be pretty sophisticated. And as David was telling me, we don't want to actually go into the specifics of the strategies because we don't want to give a blueprint for other people to follow. But in the case of this doctor that reached out to you, it's like, it's a new practice, isn't familiar with maybe the flow of accounts or maybe how cash flows. But it just seems like there's enough yellow flags, possibly red flags already, that merits probably reaching out to a professional and saying, let me do a deeper dive prior to firing. Or you think there's already enough evidence that there's mal?
I do not think that she has enough evidence that there's a problem. So I suggested that she call Susan Gunn or David Harris and have them come in on a Saturday and do a full audit of everything. And bring in whatever she needs so that they can do the audit. And they'll be able to see if there's a problem. After that, then you could fire her if there's evidence. And if there isn't, then they're going to show you some systems so that you can make sure that everything lines up and it makes sense.
So after you went through it, were there moments when you're like, oh my gosh, like looking back now, oh, I can tell that the behavior change seemed a little different, or that, you know, when she would come to my house for our annual meetings, things were more close. Like, did everything kind of make sense in hindsight? All those little clues or cues that maybe you didn't know how to interpret them. Now all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, that was a tell.
Absolutely. Looking back, but hindsight's always 20/20. When you're in the middle of something, you do give people a lot of grace. And I don't know if I could do something different at this point because I still want to give people grace. I don't want to immediately jump to somebody stealing from me. And at this moment, I have a lot of safeguards in place. For supplies was the big one. For collections, for accounting. I thought my accountant would catch things. My accountant didn't catch anything. That's not their job. Now, an auditor is not the same as an accountant. And I guess I didn't truly understand that.
I mean, I think that's one of the things is anytime you've experienced something, To that extent, it's like, okay, so what do I do now? Do I decide that the next 10 years of my life, I'm going to be paranoid? Or do I realize I still need to be able to trust other people in my practice to do the right thing, but just be a little wiser, right? It's like the whole idea of, you know, fool me once, what is it?
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Something to that extent. And I think it's different in New Jersey. It's like...
What?
Well, it's something like if I can like scam you, like it's your fault that you let me. Someone was telling me that like in Jersey, and I was like, how can that be? Now it may not be the prevailing sentiment, but it's common enough that you're like, that's how Jersey gets a bad rep. It's kind of like, well, hey, if you got taken advantage of, it's your fault. You shouldn't have let me.
And I think that as doctors, we do feel that way. If somebody scams us, we feel like we were completely responsible. And the reality is it happens to so many people. I think David Harris talks about that a lot, that the number of dentists that have been scammed is unbelievable. Physicians, realtors, lots of people have been scammed who are sophisticated, smart people, but you're trying to do your job. You're trying to provide the service that your office is designed. And so you're not looking at all those pieces. Because you can't.
So I know with me, the way this kind of hits home is that I've loved when my company, when everyone was working, you know, on location. But then all of a sudden, one of my key employees moved and they're working remote now. And all of a sudden it's like, like I tried to Zoom meeting with you or whatever, and you weren't available, but it's like working hours. You kind of should have been available, right? And all of a sudden, just little things here. Then all of a sudden, I saw like social media posting on their account because they're kind of doing some side stuff. And it just put stuff into question. And I'm like, man, everything shifted since COVID, where remote work is now, it's almost expected. You know, you don't know how many positions, high level 200,000 plus positions, and it's still remote. You can be anywhere in the country. And just the idea that in a dental practice, I don't know how you would work with someone remotely. I guess you could say a lab. You know, like vendors, but not your in-office staff, but just having to actually know that professionals everywhere are having to figure out how they trust individuals that aren't even, there's no oversight. And I don't know what kind of oversight I'd be okay with. You know, there are software programs where you can run on the computer of, you know, your employee, where you can actually be seeing what they're doing on their screen. And I almost feel like that's too big brother. Like, I don't want to...
I mean, I don't know. There's so much to it. You're right. Mark's office, as an attorney, he has most of his employees work from home, but they all have a billable hour requirement. So he doesn't care when you work. You know, you just want to work Saturdays and Sundays and do your billable hours. Sure. You can work 20 hours each day if you want to and just get your billables. So it's a different analysis versus if you have somebody who's answering the phone for you or filing insurance. I don't know.
And I think it's difficult too, because it's hard to tie it to a deliverable all the time, because you're right. Like, I don't care if someone's working 30 hours or 40 hours, if they're doing what they need to do.
If the work is being done, then you're good. But it's so different in some situations. You're right.
So in this, back to just kind of this initial conversation, you know, 6 months in, it sounds like they're probably going to get some professional help. How often are people talking to you about either numbers not making sense, or maybe even interpersonally, like a relationship with someone in their practice and they don't know what to do with it? Because it sounds like that's probably pretty common, where there's a team member causing a headache. I just got this practice. What do I do?
I mean, I would say maybe once a week I get a call. It's not really that consistent. It's like every Wednesday or anything. But I would say the average is about once a week, I get a phone call about, I'm having a problem here or there. I've been practicing 25 years, so I often have a solution. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I hear things that I've never heard before because they're living in a different world than I am. But a lot of times, especially if you live in Arizona, it's I have an IT guy can come in and take a look at your server. So that's what's happening there. Or something broke down. I know someone who can come in and replace that for you. Here's their number. So that's part of it, is I just have a lot of contacts over the years of people that I truly trust. And then, yeah. And I guess that's the other thing. I had some contacts for this person to trust and to call. And then the other thing people ask me about is team. And I will not say I'm an expert on team. I'm not. I've done my best. Sometimes I'm a good manager. I always have this dream that I'm going to be great. But the reality is, it's hard. It's hard in the moment to be the person you want to be. So I try and just tell people the truth. I mean, you made a mistake here, or they made a mistake. How are you going to fix it?
Okay, so I think we should let our listeners know that recently you were honored to be able to go to the UOP alumni meeting. And the reason why we're sharing this now is because these recordings at some point are going to be, we'll have them and we'll get to share them. But just this honor where you got to actually podcast at the UOP alumni meeting. First time ever. I think they said they've been doing this meeting for some crazy amount of years.
A lot of years, yeah.
And they've never had a live, they've never had any sort of podcast happen. And they reached out to you. And that just tell us about it. It was exciting.
Oh, it was. So it was a good friend of mine, Betty Fleming, who is, oh my gosh, she's an amazing person here in Phoenix. And really, she does all kinds of things all over the country. She asked me to come do it. And I said, yes. I mean, why not? So I got to interview, I think it was 7 people. And oh, they had wonderful stories. And I love to just hear people's stories and how they became who they are. It was a really nice opportunity.
Seeing you with the dean, there was just something about the way he carried himself. And maybe it's just that the media that was also in the room, it just felt like there was just this like dignitary that was in your midst. And you did such an amazing job honoring him, you know, asking him these questions. Did it feel different for you interviewing these 7 or 8 individuals in real time live that you didn't really know versus kind of what we get to do here in the studio?
Yes and no. I mean, it's always odd to be in front of an audience with a microphone and, you know, does your hair look okay? Those kind of crazy things. But no, I mean, we're dentists. Every day I see 16 to 20 people that I have to get their story. And so I'm used to sort of listening and feedback, and that's what I do all day. So it's not a big shift to move into a podcast. It's just I'm in front of people in a different way. But I love to hear people's stories. I love to hear about their lives. I love to hear something other than how this tooth broke in 1987. You know, it's an honor. It's a privilege to be able to hear people's stories.
And I think that's what was so neat about this event is that it was influencers that had graduated from their university. So there was something different about each of them, a road that they'd taken or a course that they'd gone down that was just kind of off the beaten path. Now, because you're so excellent, you did research on all of them, so you kind of knew. So I don't know if anything surprised you when you're in the interviews where it's like, oh my gosh, I missed that. But just from what I got to see, just amazing conversations. We're really excited to share with you guys, the audience, some of these recordings when we get them. But yeah, I just thought I'd, you know, let people know that they're coming.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate all that. It was really a wonderful experience. And I do just love to hear the story. Brian Harris was one of the interviews, and he works a block from me. So I've known Brian a long time. I knew his dad. And then we had a great conversation about things I didn't even know about him. So it was a special thing. I'm looking forward to sharing that with everyone. So again, if you're having some challenges, you can always reach out to me. We often have podcasts on these things. Sean does a beautiful job interviewing a lot of people that have influence. So tune in, give us a call. There's lots of help. Don't suffer in silence.
Thank you for listening to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. To join Allison and Sean on this journey, hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode. Here's to your success. Express yourself fully. Live authentic.